Is that? Okay, at 2 p.m., Josephine County Board of County Commissioners, Tuesday, January 16th, 2018. Legal counsel update in the BCC conference room. President R., Commissioner Hare, Commissioner Morgan, and myself, Commissioner DeYoung. We're going to take this a little bit out of order. We're going to go into executive session first. Appreciate you kind of holding off on that because we have a conference call that's coming in at 2 o'clock that is in the executive session part of it. So if that doesn't upset anybody, we'll just get started on that. Today is Tuesday, January 16th. Josephine County Board of Commissioners will now meet in executive session to review agenda items 5A through 5D. U.S. Forest Service, you got it? U.S. Forest Service lawsuit ORS 192.66022H. B is Josephine County versus Heidi Ann Hiltheimer et al. Case number 17CV00940-ORS192.66022H. C is labor negotiations, ORS 192.66022B. And D is, what's WC?
Workers' comp.
Workman's comp liability discussion, ORS 192.66022H. The end of the executive session, the board will return to open session and welcome the audience back into the room. Recorder will now be turned off at 2:01 p.m. Now, board. We are back in session at 2:42. We'll open the doors and welcome the public back in.
Please, we should clarify, we only identified item 5A.
Yes, that good point. Thank you. We only discussed item 5A in executive session. After today's session, we will go back into executive session for the remainder of our executive session agenda at 5B, C, and D will be discussed at that time. Right now, we're going to get back to our regular deal. First up is codification project update. Thank you for your patience.
Okay, the codification project is proceeding as described last week. Of course, we brought in that written timeline and still plodding along according to the timeline. Haven't heard yet from the code publishing company whether they're going to need us to answer any further questions. Some of those questions would be, they are clear that they are supposed to direct all correspondence to me while Pat is away. So I did receive a response from them on that point last week. And I think that pretty much covers the topic. Basically, we're where we left off last week. Code Publishing is going to contact me while Pat's away. And if they have any questions, we will get on immediately.
Yeah,
they haven't told us yes or no as to.
Key that we're in the home stretch with issues that could be resolved, but frankly at this point it's out of everybody's hands. We're at the final stretches, and so
all indications at this point, yes, exactly, but staying on top of it.
Okay, that's excellent.
And I was just saying that they replied, I told them last week if they have any communications about the code while Pat's away, send it directly to me. They responded they would do so.
Perfect.
So okay. That's the latest.
Commissioner Morgan, you have any questions? Thank you, Wally. Moving
there aren't any change orders or additional costs associated with this?
There are going to be, yes, in that.
It's the other hand.
Yes, actually, you know, that jogs my thinking on this because I do need to sit down. I think we left off, it was going to be Commissioner Hare, but somebody needs to decide what the binding is going to look like.
Well, I think we went with standard.
Okay, so that's going to be an additional cost.
I thought they were,
one or two of the...
Yeah, but they had a minimum order for the nice ones. They thought about putting the law library. To me, I don't see why spend the extra money
for those two. It'll change so much in the next year. It's whatever's easiest, cheapest, and workable.
Cheapest, easiest.
The notebooks, the free-ring notebooks.
Yeah.
Fine.
Okay.
If we get it cleaned up in a year and you guys say, you know what, I'm going to change a whole lot, maybe we...
You can always go back and order that book. They'll have it. You can probably order a fancy book if you want it.
In the meantime, we'll find someone else who knows how to emboss who can do it cheaper.
Probably.
I don't know that our contract is going to... Anyway, we'll cross that bridge.
Okay.
Cheapest.
They had offered to give it to us to have it printed somewhere if it was cheaper for us. And I know that they were looking at the other printers that we work with the county, if any of those are a cheaper option than ordering through them.
Okay.
And I hadn't heard if we got any of those reports back on what's the most financial viable method.
We're going to get an electronic copy that we could ship to somebody in the future and have it done. So, okay.
Okay, anything else on item 2A? Item two, letter from Community Development Director regarding Paradise Ranch.
Thank you. So this is, I think this flows, and granted we're in open session, so I don't know how far the discussion's going to go, but because the letter was a public, fully public record, I'm just presenting it to you in this particular section of the meeting. This flows from the letter that I sent on the board's behalf last September regarding the expectations of the county, the board, or that the Paradise Ranch resume development operations by right around this time. And so Community Development Director provided the letter written to me and CC'd to the board. She dated it, I think accidentally January 4th, 2017, 2018, of course, the accurate date. Anyway, this is the Community Development Director's assessment of the situation at Paradise Ranch at this point.
I don't think it was a surprise to us that by the measure of the law and the Rural Land Development Code that the proprietors of Paradise Ranch had met the criteria for substantial development. But it doesn't mean that the board couldn't take some sort of an action, and that we should probably talk about in executive session if there's follow-up. I think in my meetings with parties of Paradise Ranch, I've just conveyed the board's position that we want something to happen out there and in my lifetime, all of our lifetimes. That's my message. We are here as a partner in any way we can facilitate that. We're not looking to pull the rug out from under anybody, but something has got to be done, and tomorrow it can't keep pushing it down the road. And so I've reached out to a couple of different parties. And I think we're still working through what is it going to take to put you in this car today? You know, trying to get Washington Federal's proposal of what they said their evaluation came in at. They never actually exchanged those between and had an opportunity to kind of counter and say, well, you didn't do this, we did this, and that's what our numbers look like. And I think that's the next step, is to get a true valuation by all parties so that they can find out what it's going to cost them to get ownership collected by one party.
I think if they don't make a motion, if they don't make a movement towards resolving this, they're forcing our hand.
I think, but this is what this is saying, is they are making movement. Okay. They're not just letting it fall, but there should be pressure that it continue to make movement.
Right.
That's what I've been doing. So.
Okay.
And I will continue.
Yep.
Okay. So we got that? Thank you. Is that you, it for you, Wally? Yes, it is.
No. Well, yes, no, it is. There's actually number three, item number three.
Okay.
And Directors Weber and Rubric. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So, let me pass that on down, please.
Come on up to the table.
So, the directors have been working with my...
You'll have to grab a chair.
Oops. Everybody get settled. Okay, brought to my office.
So, I'm going to jump in.
Jump in.
Afternoon, Commissioners. So we're actually going to pull back. Originally, I came here with the intent of discussing the declaration of an emergency regarding the current state of influenza in Josephine County. The reason why we were contemplating a declaration of emergency is because we were looking to implement a change in policy that we were under the understanding that a declaration of emergency was required. In particular, 911 dispatch procedures, what they currently are, is during a 911 call where the patient is experiencing flu-like symptoms, they will dispatch fire personnel on scene. Fire personnel will stay with them, and this is somewhat of an oversimplification, but they will stay with them until an ambulance arrives. And what we're doing is we're having a large number of first response personnel engaging with people with flu, influenza, and it's impacting preparedness. We have a lot of firefighters out sick, so we're just looking to make a change to policy and minimize the number of people engaging and minimize the number of people spreading disease, which is always what we're looking to do. Well, 911 dispatch can't change their current policy because they don't have a physician on staff. Their physician position is vacant to approve policy changes. We've found some workarounds, and we can probably implement changes without actually declaring a state of emergency. And I personally would recommend not declaring a state of emergency unless it is absolutely necessary. So, since we have workarounds to implement policy changes without the declaration, my recommendation is to put it on hold for now. Any questions?
So just to clarify, the EMS board did make a recommendation that they change the protocol of fire response. In order to do that, 911 had advised, well, we have to have something from the county that allows us to change our protocol. What we've learned is that there's potentially a different route we can do to get to that same means without having to declare the emergency that would allow the outcome to be what EMS board was recommending.
Do we take precautions? Like, for instance, we get into a season like this, instead of just, you know, a fireman just running on in, do they put a face mask on and gloves and things of that sort?
Wearing appropriate.
Do you ratchet up and say, it's flu season, so this is, we're going to respond to every call with a face mask on?
So I'm actually currently working on a recommended policy. It's not something that we have authority to implement. This is simply going to be a recommendation that we start doing that as a standard of practice during every flu season. Not just appropriate PPE, personal protective equipment, not just wearing PPE, but also exactly what we're talking about here. During flu season, we should not have firefighters or unnecessary first response personnel engaging with people who are sick. This is a very serious issue. In one firehouse, we had 6 people out for an extended period of time because they developed the flu.
Is it mandatory for our employees to have flu shots for first responders?
It is not.
And it can't be. You can't mandate unless they're in the military where they have given up their rights.
Many hospitals, it's mandatory. There are avenues. I haven't researched what that would look like for us yet, though.
Some of our departments highly recommend, but it's not something that we mandate.
I haven't validated the figures, but I have been told in many of our first response organizations, the vaccination rate for influenza is as low as 20 to 30%, though. So at a minimum, I think we should look into advising or putting more formal advisement out there that vaccines are important.
I can say, though, if you happen to be a liaison to public health and you go to a meeting and admit you haven't had one, you might not get out the building.
Did it many times.
You think?
I've gotten one once, and that was the only year I got the flu. So.
Well, I think we've all got stories on, you know, whether to get it or not. It's a personal choice. And, you know,
Would you like to discuss why you should make that personal choice in one direction or another? I'm happy to have that.
I was over at the VA, and they said, yeah, we want you to get a pneumonia shot. And then they looked at my lungs and said, no, I don't think we're going to do that. I said, okay, that's fine. So I don't know what they looked at, and I don't care. I was still sucking in air and exhaling. So I just didn't know if it was company policy that is there an opportunity to make flu shots more... you know, like, say, for instance, countywide, this is flu shot week or something, and actually have a place where they can go get free flu shots. Just something to jog their memory and say, yeah, I think I'm going to go do that. A lot of people, they don't get a flu shot until it's too late.
So I'm looking to what we can do next year, earlier in the flu season, to maybe head some of this off for that exact reason. But influenza is serious. Normal year, we look at about 36,000 deaths in the United States from it. It's the largest microbial killer, depending on how you measure that. But we're going to be much, much higher this year. We could easily break 40 to 42,000, which is the high end of a normal range year.
And there have been deaths in Oregon from it already. But traditionally, public health has offered flu clinics up at public health. They've done some in other buildings as well, but there's something about the billing that if we do it up there, it has a different outcome. But they just send it out to employees, hey, come up between this time and this time, and they handle it.
I was thinking, you know, if you did it at public safety during your shift change or something, to where you can get a couple of shifts done at one time, and you go there, and rather than them have to take time out of their day, you just stand right there, and the guy comes in, yeah. Bust me in the arm while I'm here. I think we need to make it more available to them. You know, you go to the mountain rather than make them come to the, you know, come to you.
I'm going to be looking in how to do that most effectively.
Just amongst our employees and first responders, because that seems to be where this thing is going to kick in. It has nothing to do with anybody else, just first responders, correct?
Yeah, this is focused on first responders. And to clarify my earlier statement, I am looking at drafting a policy recommendation, but ultimately I'm probably going to hand that off to Sarah, because this is speaking right to emergency services behavior.
Okay. You know how to give shots, Sarah?
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions? That's Michael Weber, by the way, just for the record. All good?
Thanks for coming up with an alternative, you guys.
Thank you.
Don't disappear yet, please. No, you can.
Oh, bye. Okay, next up is item number 4, matters from commissioners.
I have a couple. My Thursday schedule, I'm at the ONC meeting on Wednesday evening. Not sure whether or not I'm staying or not. I don't have a hotel reservation, but the meeting doesn't start until the evening. And
this week?
Tomorrow.
Oh, ONC, okay.
And then, so I might stay, which means I may not be available for the Thursday admin. Okay. Do you have a quorum of the board Thursday morning?
I will be here.
Great.
I will be here.
Coordination committee. There's an issue that Mr. Streeter and I were just discussing of 2477 roads, which are a provision of FLTMA that requires roads that were in existence before 1976 need to be maintained with perpetuity. I think if the coordination committee were formed for just one issue, maintaining that element, it's too big for you and I and stuff. But it comes around to the Slate Creek project has a provision of decommissioning roads, and I would imagine the area that they're looking to do is an old forest management section, and probably has roads.
Which road are you talking about?
We're going to discuss this with the BLM manager in a week or two. I know that Alan Bolschweiler's on the schedule to come in and brief the board on the Slate Creek project, and that's a big, big thing. And in that, like on page 15, they talk about decommissioning roads, and we should have a whole committee looking at the roads that they're decommissioning. Just something, one more reason why I think we need to work on a coordination committee, and it was part of your platform, I think. So let's get it done before you're running again.
Do we have any information or documentation on how much longer it takes to fight forest fires because they decommission roads and we can't get to the fire?
There was an element in the Douglas complex, so it took an extra 10 days and $1 million to get access to the Rogue River just because they were opening up 5 miles of roads that had been abandoned, or I don't think it was decommissioned, they just hadn't been maintained.
Because I know on
there are statistics
decommissioning roads, they go in with rippers and rip them all up.
Yep.
And just let them go.
Make them look terrible. So.
Okay.
I have another one, but that can wait till Thursday.
You won't be here.
Provided I'm here. So it has to do with membership in OFIC for counties who maintain and manage forest lands under the auspice of like sustained yield or timber production. We are not a member of OFIC. There's nobody advocating at the state level to maintain the rules that we're governed by in our forest management. So I did talk to Travis Joseph about joining that and paying a fee. But what it really does for them is it broadens their scope of argument, that it isn't just benefiting wood products industry, timber barons. No, it's providing services like juvenile shelters and vital public safety things, what they do in Douglas County, Hood River, and Coos, with those dollars is really valuable. And OFIC would love to have that in their portfolio of arguments when they're talking about potential restrictions under the Oregon State Forest Practices Act.
What are their dues? How much are they?
Oh, I don't know. I think it wouldn't be much. I'm sure they want us for the argument, not so much.
Well, yeah,
they
looks better. It looks better. The more counties you have on board, the better it works.
They want our portfolio of argument, not necessarily.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why? So you'll get more information.
Yeah, they don't need our money. They need our
support.
Reasons. Because I do believe the Oregon State Forest Practices Act is going to come under increased scrutiny in the next decade. So, something to be conscious of. That's all I have, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Morgan?
So last Friday, Sarah and I met with Aaron Kubik, city manager, regarding the emergency service regional proposal. And then I'm scheduled to go over and meet with Jackson County on the 24th. Kind of talk with them about where we are with that. I'm going to be meeting with Aaron Kubik again before we go to kind of hear the city's feedback on that. If it is, my opinions in looking at this and the updates I've gotten from Sarah at this point is that no matter where we are as a county, it is in our best interest that we work with the City of Grants Pass So whether we end up being a part of a regional proposal with Jackson County or not, either way, that we need to be working with the city of Grants Pass. And so I just want to make sure that that's not something that I'm proposing alone, that you guys would endorse, that as we move forward, that we are making sure that we're incorporating city of Grants Pass in those plans. So that's my first thing, but I also just wanted to give you guys a heads up that's coming. Any objections to my philosophy that we need Grants Pass on board?
I think we were all in full agreement of that to begin with.
I just want to make sure. Then I have a couple other conflicts of schedule that I want to just run through with you guys. First off, regarding the juvenile open house last week, I'll bring it up again at the weekly business tomorrow, but I just want to say thank you for your support and your efforts and being a part of getting that done.
It's successful.
It was hugely, hugely successful, and it's pretty exciting. So Illinois Valley Chamber of Commerce, as a liaison to the chamber, the next meeting is January 25th at noon out in Cave Junction. However, that's the exact same time as my Board of Health meeting, and so I can't be in two places at once. So I wanted to just run by you guys if either of you are interested in attending one or the other, so the other one can be attended.
What day is the 25th?
It is a Thursday, the last Thursday of the month. And so it would either be at the Wild River, Cave Junction, the pizza place at noon for the chamber out there, or Board of Health is at our public health meeting. The other one is received an invitation for Southern Oregon Horse Racing Association this Saturday, the 20th, 6 p.m. at Tap Rock Evergreen Room. I didn't know if you also received an invitation for that, but since you're liaison to fair, I thought I'd bring it up because I don't know that we all need to go versus one person.
Are you interested in going to that?
Not necessarily, because I am doing the Blue Zone Project kickoff. That's from 1 to 4, so I'm going to be there all afternoon.
You're running the half marathon?
No, but I did offer to volunteer, so I'll be wearing a blue volunteer shirt.
The blue volunteer shirt.
So I just thought I'd throw that out there because they approached me yesterday at Senator Merkley's event, again saying they wanted us to have somebody there.
At the Blue Zone?
No, I'm at Blue Zone.
At the Sora?
Correct. Okay. At the horse racing thing.
I'll check with Peggy.
Okay. Right. And then I just wanted to give you guys a heads up. Thursday night, I've been asked to speak at an event in Medford. The Women's Leadership Conference covers Southern Oregon and just kind of highlighting women in leadership. They are focusing on women in government. And so Representative Pam Marsh, District Attorney from Jackson County, Beth Heckert, and myself have been asked to speak on a panel. So I was going to send something out to staff just kind of as a heads up, but wanted to give you guys a warning beforehand. And I think that's all as far as that goes. So anybody interested in the chamber versus...
Then that's Saturday?
No, the chambers is January 25th, a Thursday. That was the first one I brought up.
Okay.
This Saturday is the Southern Oregon Horse Racing Association.
Okay, I'll check with Peggy on the Saturday deal, but I could probably... I'll check my thing. I may be able to do your chamber thing. I think it's important that we go out there. I do too.
And I believe that's all I had.
Tomorrow evening, I'm going to give a short presentation at the city council meeting and ask them for a letter of support for the Southern Oregon Marijuana Initiative. I've been on the phone all morning to Douglas County, to Jackson County, seeking letters of support from their county commissioners. Sheriff is getting letters of support from all the sheriffs in the five counties. Nate Gayran is seeking the same for community corrections, and also Jim Goodwin is doing the same for juvenile for all five counties. We're just trying to stack the deck. We've got some convincing to do to some of our local legislators that this is the thing to do, and that if them not being on board, they're going to be the only ones not on board. I've had a meeting with Mr. Jenner the other day and explained to him that for anybody locally to say, I don't want to move this forward, I'm going to try to kill it before it even gets to the legislature, they're not letting the process follow through. I said the process would be to let it go to legislature, let the legislators hear everything that's involved with it, and let them make the decision rather than two or three people from Southern Oregon deciding they're going to torpedo the whole effort. If it doesn't pass the legislature, fine, and it's the state legislature that made that decision, and done. But they at least need to let it go forward, put it on the agenda so it can be heard, and then they will have all the effort, all the time in the world, about 5 or 6 months, if they really want to campaign against it, they can do so before it goes to the voter here. But I think that the process needs to be followed all the way through, and therefore, I think then it would be something that's, to me, has been vetted. So I'm hopefully that message went home, or went home at least to where they're, not quite. I see them coming around before February 15th.
You can't hear it, but that's really
what?
Sharp.
You're spinning that and it's squeaking.
Oh, excuse me.
You can't.
I can't hear that.
What?
I can't. No, I can't. I'm sorry.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, you beat
we
my ears.
We need a new fidget toy for you.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll put the pen away. I used to click it over there, and the guy just did. IT guy, well, would you stop clicking your pen because it's just resonating throughout. So, but that's the deal there. And then next Monday, I won't be here. I'll be up in Salem. We're going to, Rob Bovet and I are going to meet with, what's it called, Senate Judiciary?
Senator Brzezinski, Chair of Senate Judiciary Committee.
And talk about marijuana.
I'll be telephonically tied in on that one.
Yeah, and Wally's going to chime in by phone.
I think there's going to be a global discussion about all of it.
Yeah, I do too. I just want us to have our couple 3 minutes of explaining what we're doing down here in Southern Oregon.
It's a serious meeting. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a serious meeting, and I think it's I'm happy that it's prior to. Billy Williams has got the stakeholder meeting going. I'm going to try to get an invitation to that in Portland on the 20. That's it's coming up on the 25th. That's one of the reasons why I might not be able to do some of this stuff, but. But I got to talk to Mr. Bovet because I think we need to be in the room with Billy Williams to show him what we want to do here in Southern Oregon, so that maybe some pressure can come from the top side, from the top down, rather than us just trying to. We're always looking up. I would like to be reciprocal from the top down and go from there. So those are things that are happening in our marijuana thing. We were all at the grand opening over there for Jim Goodman's department, fantastic facility, looked good. They were sweeping up, putting stuff under the rug as we were walking in, but they did a fantastic job. It looks like they're on board for phase two of that coming up shortly in February. So, anybody else got anything? If not, we'll go back into executive session at 3:08. We'll turn off the thing.
So to continue with items 5B through D? That we read
yeah,
earlier.
we're gonna go back to item number 5 and address 5B, C, and D. No decision will be made in executive session. At the end of executive session, the board will return to open up session and open session. Welcome the audience back in the room. The recorder will be turned off at 3:09. We are back in session at 3:22 p.m. No decisions were made during the executive session.
Mr.
Back on.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
First regarding U.S. Forest Service lawsuit, I would recommend that we keep negotiating and working with our attorney towards our options. I would also ask that we authorize Commissioner Hare to facilitate discussions with our other natural resource counties through AOC as far as the next steps as well.
I agree with that.
Any decision will ultimately be the board's if we choose to pursue this.
Okay.
So, Mr. Chair, item 5B, Josephine County versus Heidi and Hiltzmeyer, that we would recommend to legal counsel to pursue full damages as a place to start so that we make sure that we've codified the full cost of this effort on behalf of the taxpayers of Josephine County, and then authorize the liaison, which in this case is the chair and legal counsel, to negotiate a reduced settlement, but likely a reduced settlement. But that the understanding that the Heidi understands the full gravity of what took place.
I would second that or support that.
support that. So would I, and I think we'll keep the board appraised as how that's going in case
Great.
We do get into negotiations. Item 5C.
Let's see.
So we would recommend that the liaison and HR manager has the discretion to move the union negotiations based on the tentative agreement already arrived at by the board to move those forward and prepare the agreement, the contract.
Okay.
I would support that as well.
I would support that also.
Even if I did have to sneak out of the meeting last week before the tentative agreement was ultimately reached, I still support that.
It was what you want.
It was as I was walking out the door, I agreed with that, yes.
It was exactly what you want.
Yeah. And regarding the workers' comp liability discussion, I would like the board to authorize HR to complete the negotiations with that.
I agree.
Settlement agreement.
Mr. Hare?
Yep.
Okay.
I concur.
With that, I think we've covered just about everything today. Thank you, Wally. Thank you, JJ. Appreciate it. And we are adjourned at 3:24.